Today's a special day because we want to sort of wrap up the book of 2 Corinthians and at the same time open up our summer experience, our inside-out experience. So it should be a fun time together. I wasn't here last week. I went to another church. Not that I don't like you or anything, but 25 years ago, I helped get a church started in Laurel, Maryland, and so they asked me to come out and speak for their 25th anniversary. And so it was a really fun time. It was really great because we had all these young couples that have stayed in the church, that helped found the church, and now they have kids who are as old as they were when they were starting the church. And they're like, I wouldn't trust my kid to start a church, you know? They're like, we were nuts. And the answer is, yes, you were. You were nuts. But God can do great things when we just hand him our weakness, you know? It's amazing. What he can pull off. So it was a great time for me. You didn't suffer. Bill was here, and I know you were well taught. So what I want to do today is, as I say, sort of draw to close that study in 2 Corinthians. I love that book. It's a gorgeous gift to us. Paul's letters generally tell us what we ought to believe, but this book of 2 Corinthians shows us how we ought to behave, and it's such a gift to us. And so I want to look at the last chapter just for a minute or two with you today because it's so very important. And I can't summarize the whole book, but I will say this. Paul is dealing with some people who have been very critical of him specifically. They've been saying that he's a thief, and they say that he's two-faced, and they even say that he's ugly, and they say crazy if you listen to the passage that Bill taught last week. Other than that, they're very encouraging. But they attack Paul, and Paul, interestingly, does not respond to all that. He says, yeah, I'm perfectly weak. That's his consistent response. They want to be impressive and flashy, and he says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the one time when I tried to really be impressive, when I was going to be tough and help Jesus out. And if you're here last week, Bill told you that story of that terrible moment when he decided to show how spiritually rugged he was. And he ends up running for his life. He's lowered over a wall in a basket like a bag of cabbages. And it's a complete disaster. And he says, you know, the truth of it is I'm just weak. In fact, he says, there was a time when I asked God to make me stronger. And he said, God, couldn't you make me tougher? And I want you to see the response that God gave him, because in one sense, it's a key verse of the book of Corinthians and such a critical thing for our study. So I just put on the screen so you can take a look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But God responding to Paul, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is the core concept, the thought that if we acknowledge our weakness, then Christ's power can be displayed in us. But we have to be honest about the weak points in our life. And so Paul is ready in this little passage we're going to look at to give his parting words. He's going to take on those super apostles, that the guys who've been attacking him. He's going to tell them, look, you shape up. But at the same time, he has a word to the Corinthians, and he says, listen, I want you to pass the test. I want to make sure you measure up. And so I want you to see that. It's five verses only, but very, very important. On the inside of the worship folder is a single sheet that says, the test. Examine yourselves, and I'll show it to you in just a second. But I want us to see it together. You find it? Okay, let's stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. Paul begins with his warning to these super apostles, the critics. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. Now I repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you're demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He's not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Okay, have a seat if you will, please. We'll take a look. I will not go through the passage in detail as I normally would. I just kind of want you to get the core principles and see what's at work. So the Apostle Paul, now ready to return to the Corinthian church, the church that he started, and he's ready to deal with these troublemakers specifically. Notice verse 1 what he says. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So he's telling these guys who've been criticizing him, hey, it's time for you to shape up. He doesn't defend himself, but now they're starting to damage the church. And so he says, I'm going to have to bring a charge against you. And he quotes the Deuteronomy 19 passage, which says, make sure you have two or three witnesses. So he says, look, I've got the evidence. I'm coming the third time. I've already sent three guys to you, so I'll have the evidence. You should turn around while you still can. Notice verse 2. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you're demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He's not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. So very serious stuff. Paul is saying, look, I'm not going to mess around anymore. I've warned you, I'm warning you, and when I come, I'm going to deal with this thing. And listen, anytime in the New Testament when you see Paul warning of judgment, if you'll study the history, you'll see dead people nearby. So it's serious. He's not messing around, and he's saying, look, you need to turn while you still can. This is a very important concept. Listen to me if you're a Christian. You want to hang on to your secret issue, your special problem? Listen, you don't take that and bring it underneath the cross and let it be judged under the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to hang on to that? Listen, you're going to be held accountable for that. See, Paul is saying to these guys, look, you got to remember, sooner or later, judgment comes. And what we want is later. But what happens is sooner. And so he says, no, look, you just got to deal with this as quickly as you can. So, and then Paul says, you're mistaking my weakness for incompetence. And you don't get the point. Jesus is still speaking through me. He just uses weak people. In fact, he says, God works through weak. And he uses the example of the Lord Jesus himself. So notice in verse 4, for to be sure, talking about Jesus, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. So the cross of Jesus is always the measuring stick that Paul uses to evaluate things. And so he asks the question, well, weak, was Jesus ever weak? Sure he was weak at the cross. But the cross becomes the sign of God's great power because the cross leads to an empty tomb. And so Paul says, yeah, I'm weak, but I know that's where God can show his strength in my life. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm weak because that's the place that God can begin to work. So then he turns now to the whole congregation and says, can you pass that same test? That's verse 5. That's where I really want you to see it. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Examine yourselves, he says. That's the command. Does not, by the way, say examine others. That's fun, but that's not the command. I'm good at that. You need help. Biblical gift of criticism. I've got it, okay? But that's not the command. The command is, look, examine yourself. And here's the standard. Is Jesus in you? See, that's what he says. Not just belief, although a certain belief is necessary. Not just conduct, although it has an impact on conduct. Really, it's about a condition of the heart. He's saying, are you opening your heart so that God can begin to work? You know, the prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. He says, look, you need to examine yourself. And again, the measurement stick is the cross, because this is the moment of Jesus' apparent weakness. So he says, have you identified your weakness so that God can show his power there? It's very important to see that. Test yourself. This is a key concept. Test yourself. Do you know where the weaknesses are? I've had this opportunity to actually start with one of the men here in the congregation and just continue to this day. The U.S. Navy will invite me to come and offer a prayer during the commissioning of one of their stealth boats as they come out. And they're amazing vessels. And it's my chance to come and ask God to bless the vessel and the crew who serve them, you see? But they're amazing vessels. You kind of poke around, you're like able to look all over, and then you go to a certain place, and the guy's, I'm sorry, sir, you can't go in there. It's like, okay, if I go in there, you'll kill me. Yes, sir. So it's like, all right. So they're very interesting. And so I, as I've been on these vessels, one time I'm saying to the guy, Okay, so what happens next? You know, and he goes, well, now we'll go out for sea trials. I said, well, what's that about? That's where we go and we test the vessel in every way to try to find out if there are any weaknesses or flaws and so on. So what kind of flaws are you talking about? He goes, well, for instance, the welds, because these things are welded together in a very special way. And he says, yeah, we want to make sure those welds are going to hold. I said, well, what happens if they don't hold? He said, oh, the thing will come completely apart, will sink. We have just got done traveling at incredible speeds on this vessel, and now he tells me that the welds might fail and the whole thing will fall apart. This makes me pray a lot better, I want to say that. But you see, what he's saying is, it's not tested yet. We haven't checked to see where the weak points are, where we need to work. Look, Paul says, you test yourself. Find the weak points, not where you need to work, because if you could have fixed yourself, you would have done it a long time ago. He says, find the weak points, so this is the place for Jesus to work. You see? So that's the test. That's the critical thing. Now, what I want us to do is to take Paul's test. The first part is Jesus in you. You got to get that part. Faith is the first response that God always wants. Now, listen to me carefully. Faith is about trust. It's not simply about belief. I can't tell you, I run into people, it's like, look, I believe in God. Well, that's nice. Doesn't mean anything, but it's nice. You believe in God. You have no idea what a reassurance it is to God that you approve of his existence. Because God is up there in heaven, and he hears that you believe in him, and he's like, thank you so much. I was beginning to doubt whether I existed or not, but thanks to you, I'm okay now. Look, it doesn't work. God never asked you to believe in him. He asked you to trust in his son. You hear the difference? When you trust in his son, it's about faith. It's about saying, I put my reliance upon Jesus and what he did for me, that which I could never do for myself. That's the first place. The first thing is Jesus in you? But then he says, test yourself to see where you're in the faith. That is that real faith? Is it starting to shine through you? If it isn't flowing through your heart, listen, you're missing it. And see, we're coming up to that time where we're going to focus all summer. We call it inside out. We say, his heart, our hands. If his heart has touched your heart, then it needs to start flowing through you. See, that's what Paul is saying here. Is it really there? More than 35 years ago, I ran into some questions that John Wesley used to use with his guys in small groups. And it's become a great help to me, especially when I lead a small group, because they're great accountability questions. So they're questions that you use in terms of self-assessment before you meet together. And I just want to give you one or two of them. And I'll just give you one. Here's one. He says, am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I'm better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Shut up, John Wesley, right? I mean, this is a great question. Here's another one. Can I be trusted? Just that simple. Yeah. Can I be trusted? Here's one. Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? That is it always about me? See? Somebody trying to write this down. Give it up. I'll email it to you, okay? Your pen will run out of ink. I'm only giving you some of them, okay? Here's another one. Does the Bible live in me today? Not did you read the Bible? Mm-mm. Did the Bible live in me today? Did it really touch my heart? You see? When did I last speak to someone else about my faith? John Wesley was incurably evangelistic. He knew that the good news was for the whole world. Here's another one. Do I pray about the money I spend? Not like, Lord, give me more, okay? Praying before you spend it, you see? Am I proud? Am I proud? To do that one in a small group. Just say, no. Then let everybody else comment, okay? That'll help. Here's a tough one. Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold a resentment toward, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Wow. See it? Here's one last one. Is Christ real to me? See? Is Christ real to me? Is it vibrant? Is my walk with him really there? Now, there are 22 of them. It'll just overwhelm you. But I tell you, it's important because they assess our heart condition. So, as you came in today, we gave you a heart. There was a pen nearby. And it really is designed for you and I to stop and say, where is my heart? All year long, I've been talking to you about the heart of God. And the first consideration is the heart that God has for us. That's why we looked at all those offerings in Leviticus, because God wants us to draw near to Him. It was His idea. His heart is for us. But then what's the heart that He wants to build in us? That's what we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians, to see that He can work through our weakness. But ultimately, it has to be the heart that His heart that flows through us. And that's what our whole inside-out experience is going to be in terms of this summer. So it's important that we get our heart right. So I wanted to give you this opportunity with that pen to just think in terms of answering this question. Where is the logjam in my life? Where is the place that Jesus still needs to shine through? Where does God's heart need to touch my heart, you see? And so give you an opportunity then, even in just one or two words, to write it down. And let me just say this. You may want to do it in code. That's okay. You may want to, you know, it may be the person next to you is your problem, so you just draw an arrow pointing at them, okay? Then if they look at you, you go like this real quick, you know? Really, we're not here to evaluate the heart of the person next to us, right? It's our heart. It's our heart. And so when you do that, let me tell you, it's such a powerful effect. And, you know, you may want to write down what the challenge is, or you may want to write down what it is you're headed hoping for. So, you know, if you write down pride, we'll guess that you're looking for humility. If you write humility, we'll probably guess that you're looking for pride. But it's a great opportunity to stop and say, God, I want to take the test. I want to know those places where my heart needs to break free in order for your heart to really shine and show. Now, I know you're like, okay, but I see all those pictures, people holding up pictures with their heart, and it's like, okay, we're not going to make you take a picture, okay, so you can relax about that. We had hundreds of our leaders do it, and so that's true, but I wanted to just hear from someone who did have their picture taken. And I asked Dave Dittmer if he would come and just share, what did you put on your heart? What's the logjam point in your life? So I asked Dave right at the last minute because I knew we'd never be friends again. And so
it didn't take me long to think about what I needed to write, because what my obstacle was were the words stand aside. And I wrote stand aside for a couple of reasons. First of all, I need to stand aside and let Jesus do what Jesus does best. When I work in my strength, in my power, in my timetable, I tend to mess up. But if I'll step aside and submit to God, then what He can do through me is a lot more effective than when I let my desires stand in the way. Secondly, I need to stand aside and give Him the glory, Him the power, and Him the attention. I'm guilty, unfortunately, of giving Him most of the glory and saving just a little bit for myself so that I can soothe my insecure ego with that. Recently, I heard Pastor JP talk about John chapter 1, when John the Baptist was asked, was he the Christ? And he responded, I am not. That needs to be my first response, not my second, not my third, but my first response needs to be, I am not, He is. It's important that I write more than just stand aside on a paper heart. I need to write it on my heart. So if you'll see me after this service, will you just say praise God? Because actually, in my humanity, I want you to validate me. But Jesus wants me to stand aside. Thank you.
All right. So you get the idea. Just one or two words. And we're going to just stop and do a little. I've asked the worship team to come and lead us in a couple of songs. And maybe during those songs, you can say, okay, Lord, you speak to me and you show me where's that logjam in my heart that just needs to be removed so that your heart can flow through mine. And I'm grateful because our guys think about worship. The first song we're singing is Beautiful Things. I love the lyric of that. He makes beautiful things out of the dust. What we bring to Him is not great stuff. We bring to Him, Lord, this is a problem, but I can't fix it. You can. Please help. It's such a powerful thing for us to be honest before Him. And so I want to encourage you to take a minute or two, even as we stop and worship, And to write that down, what it is that we want to grow from the inside out, where the heart work that God needs to do so that it can begin to shine in our life, okay? So we'll do that, and then we'll get together afterwards. We'll do an offering later on. Don't put your heart in the offering, okay? Put your real heart in the offering, that's good, but not this baby. Just hang on to it, and we'll talk about it more later on. But let me pray with you first, okay? I do thank you, Lord, that you are able to make beautiful things out of the dust. It's not like we could ever bring you something of ourselves that would impress you or dazzle you. I just thank you, Lord, that you invite us to come just as we are. And I pray, Lord, that even as we stop now and reflect in worship, that you'll speak deeply to us, not just to jot something down, but that you'll speak to us and help us center down on what it is that really needs to change if our heart's going to reflect yours. Please speak to us during this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.